One. Hello, 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 all you beautiful and wonderful mixologists out there. It is your girl, Moni, and you are mixing with Moni probably on the Patreon first, and then this will get released later. But for now, all you wonderful people that have joined me and switched over to the Patreon, I could not thank you enough. So I wanted to make sure I did something so special for all of you out there who have joined me on this journey to and from near and far. So we're going to do a nice year in review, and I could not have anyone else do it with me other than one of the best pop culture Bravo news breakers. It's not even enough to just say that she's interested in pop culture or that she reports on it, because we also have witnessed her and her partner, Abby, in podcasting, of course, make history in pop culture. And we will get to that in a second. But I have one half of the coolest mom duo in the world. I have Vanessa from Real Moms of Bravo here with me. Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, that introduction. I'm like borderline in tears. That it was so nice. Thank you so much for having me. Thrilled to be here, thrilled to kiki with you and break it all down. So let's
Yes.
go. I'm ready. I'm caffeinated and ready to go,
Oh my
baby.
God, same. I have my coffee right here and I am good to go. I have like my barefoot blanket right on top of me. I feel very cozy.
Ooh, luxurious, honey.
Okay, girl, Nordstrom rack.
No, that's where I get mine too.
Okay, like I want to be trendy,
No, but
but
I mean, yeah,
no.
Nordstrom Rack for your barefoot dreams,
Oh my God,
lovers.
I love a Nordstrom's rack, first of all. Like that should have made it into the year in review. Stores that just kept us, gave us joy during the last like 2.5 years of a pandemic, practically. Like, oh God, I love it so much. And this was a warm gift from someone. And I am just like, this is the warmest thing. So interesting because it's so thin, but I'm so cozy. I don't understand it. I guess that's how they get the money.
It is. It is.
It has to be that. Okay, so everyone, we are going to be diving in to a year in review. This was a year of a lot of things. There was a lot of trash men. There were a lot of weddings. There were a lot of breakups, makeups, hookups. There were a lot of cast reveals. There were a lot of spin-off shows. And going through like my Instagram highlights, I don't know how often you do this, Vanessa, because we post so much shit all the time, so it's like hard to go through. And I'm just like, this all happened in 1 year. Like,
Yeah, no, it's absurd. Like, it feels like we've had multiple years in one.
yes, like just to get us started, Louis and Teresa got engaged right before the new year of
Oh my
2022,
God.
and they're
Dirty
already
Louie.
married.
And they're already married.
They're already married, and it's like really weird, creepy man getting engaged at the start of this year. Steve Lodge and his girlfriend, now fiance, they got engaged this year.
Well, he's not creepy though.
Isn't that creepy?
Oh
Like,
wait, no, he is. Sorry, I was getting him mixed up with oh my God, this is a huge mistake. Ronnie Steve. When you said Steve,
oh.
that's where my head went. And I was like,
No,
oh my
we're
God, because
talking Vicky's thirsty
is he Steve Gold?
ex-fiance.
That's where I got that mixed
Yeah,
up.
that's
Okay.
Steve Gold. Love him.
Yeah, sorry. No, but
Very
yes,
cute baby. Love
creepy.
you, Steve.
Creepy. Yeah, Steve Lodge, creepy as
Old
fuck.
Steve Lodge,
Yes.
who's not great and was mean to Vicky. And I don't even love Vicky. And I was still like, how dare you use her for us? Like, how dare you do this to us?
No,
But
he's a piece of shit. She has such a track record with men.
yeah, it's weird. I have always had the theory that she secretly wants to be like taken care of. And so she uses her, I'm a strong woman who have made money and everything by myself. She uses that as like some kind of defense mechanism, but she secretly just wants a man who like will hold her and love her and make her feel like a little woman, like the other girl, like she views the other women. So she lets these men that have bigger egos and bigger like confidence, bravado, and all that, who are not necessarily financially sound, but she feels like they can be a man to her and for her. And that's what she loves. But that's also why she keeps getting heartbroken, because she needs herself a nice good partner, maybe. Like a little
Yeah.
equal thing.
I feel like she needs someone else to do the picking for her. And I think she's been with this new dude for a year. I know nothing about him, but he looks like another old white dude. yes, that she's with. So, I mean, hopefully it's going well and her love tank is full. Uh-huh. But I do think, like, ultimately.
So with her bank account.
Yeah. I do think ultimately Vicky, like, lover or hater, I think something that's been consistent with her, like you said, is that she's always wanted to be loved. She's yeah. always just like, I think she is a romantic at heart and she is looking for that fairy tale ending. And yeah. however, she gets it.
Yes. And speaking of some fairy tale endings from people who want to be loved and have terrible pickers, Tom D'Agostino also got engaged at the beginning of this year on New Year's Eve, exactly 5 years after marrying Luann on the same day.
I don't think I realized that until you said that. And like, I forgot
about it. And it was such a scandal to us because we were like, wow, you're a piece of shit.
And huge piece of shit. But you know what? I hope Luann, like, I've never seen her cabaret, but she seems to be more and more in on the joke, which is like my favorite thing about a housewife when they can like laugh with us. Like, that's I could see her making a shitty song about that. Like, she should capitalize on that.
Yeah, I think so too. But okay. I mean, hopefully she doesn't feel embarrassed anymore. Luann's biggest downfall is her pride.
Oh yeah.
Like
her ego.
Her ego, her pride, which is funny because she's not talented, but like we support her and she takes that as thinking that she is talented. Oh, it actually always makes me feel like a cringe and go like, oh honey, whenever I see like Candace on Potomac be so worried that she'll be like looped in with other housewives who like had a couple singles. I was like, baby, even though you just now got your production budget together this year and it shows, you are not doing a Luann cabaret, a Melissa in her basement recording studio, you know, on display. We're not in the, you're not in the same grouping. No one's gonna confuse you with the Sociac Beerman.
You know what? I will give Lou her flowers for being like the first to take whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. a show on the road. Mm-hmm. Now we see in Potomac, like these live shows that these housewives are trying to do. So I give my flowers to Lou for kind of being like the first to capitalize on that. And I feel like pre-pandemic, she kind of started to do that. But anyways, I digress.
No, seriously, I am very, it's interesting that we even have a subculture of music that like comes from housewives.
It's so weird.
Like, where is that category at the Grammys or at the AMAs or something like?
Oh my God. And if you're watching Miami, Adriana is having a single and I'm like, Jesus, take the fucking wheel, women. Like, I mean, the only other housewife who I was like, okay with having like a later in life, like music career was Erika Jayne, because I feel like she, lover or hater, say what you want about EJ. I think the woman could entertain and she, you know, she's probably not the most talented, but I think she's aware and all of that. But everyone else, I'm like, Jesus, like.
He also found an audience that really didn't care about talent. They weren't picky. They were there for everything else. And she gave them everything else.
But honey, you were killing me. She said that so like casually. They don't care about
because
talent.
I just thought that, I mean, listen, her audience is mainly like the gays who love a dramatic moment and Bravo fans now who also love a dramatic moment, and her being in like nude glitter bodysuits and patting her vagine in her front of non sold out crowds, though we're thought to believe they are, lets us know that we like to look at it, but we're not going to pay for it. So if we had to choose between Adele or Beyonce and Erika Jayne, apparently we're going with people who can sing, but we love watching the moments and supporting from afar for our housewives diva queens.
I mean, I love that.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say to that.
Also, I made a mistake and said, you know, no one's comparing Candace to Kim Zolciak Bierman, but it's really just Kim Zolciak now because there's a breakup for you.
They broke up?
Kim and Croy are getting a divorce.
No, I don't know that.
They are.
What?
Yes, it was right fresh off of the whole house foreclosure thing.
Wait, I don't think I think because I saw so much speculation between the two of them.
Yes.
That I didn't realize like things were happening. Like honestly, Kim, aside from like her drunken antics and like her lives and like just her being Kim, I mean, I guess this makes more sense now why she's making a potential appearance on Atlanta, but I like totally that slipped through my radar.
Yeah, no, they are, it's like been rumored for a while. I don't think she herself has confirmed it yet. She did do an interview with Bravo about why Croy, who's unemployed, wasn't at Portia's wedding and why they have been attending things separately. And that's upsetting. Also, they lost their house.
Yeah, I know that.
It's been a really hard year for Kim. And I remember when I posted that they were supposedly getting a divorce or splitting up allegedly, I was like, I mean, that being homeless will do it to you, you know? And let's not be confused with being unhoused. They have no chronic issue other than they can't afford a lifestyle that they, like,
I mean,
consistently try to chase.
No, I mean, her skincare, her face tune, it's like out of control.
What's that? Buying that?
No, and the fact that the don't be tardy money stopped, like, that tells you everything about, like, how she managed her finances. Like,
yeah,
she was... You know, again, it's a tale as old as time. People who live beyond their means.
Yes.
And just to sell this facade of money, rich, and she's not. Mm-hmm. Like, she went from being invited to Khloe Kardashian's baby shower to now, like, being foreclosed.
It's so sad.
But it's the truth. Like,
it is the truth. Yes. Like, just manage your money, people, especially on Bravo. Like, Jackson.
Oh, my God.
Sad, but you know, him pining after HGTV, like anybody would give him a hammer, you know, on comments on people's Instagram posts, ridiculous. Just get a financial advisor, sell your house, downsize, move on. It is not an unworthy thing to downsize. It is fiscally responsible to be like, I don't want to be paying for what I cannot afford. And I would have security than I would like a beautiful home or a big, beautiful home that I can't feel secure in. And then I am very anxious about losing. So
no facts. I
that
agree.
Seems like a responsible adult thing, but what do I know? I just got here. So, so some other breakups that happened, Raquel and James, that was a split this year. And so was Tom and Katie. That was a split this year. And then Raquel and Tom, that was a hookup this year.
I mean,
what is Tom, this year?
Okay. So it's so funny because all of us, like, end of season 9 of Vanderpump Rules, we were so fucking done with it. I was like, end the show, like, put, you know, put the nail in the coffin. Like, it's done. It's so played out. It feels so fake. And then now all this off-screen drama happens. You have Lala and Randall too, who also broke up. Mm-hmm. I mean, in that shitstorm. So now it's just so fascinating. I was the most shocked by Tom and Katie, the Bubbas. Like, I mean, I think everyone
is a long time.
A long ass time. And I think all of us, like, I think a lot of people listen, like, Tom is much more likable than Katie. Sometimes. I fucking love Tom.
I wouldn't call myself a lovable doofus.
Yes. I wouldn't go so far to call me a Tom apologist, but he's always been like my favorite Bravo man. But I think so many of us, because he's a lovable doofus, have given him a pass on his behavior. Uh-huh. And then Katie being, you know, Tequila Katie or just Katie has been so shit on that I'm ready for Katie to finally get kind of some love and respect from the fans. Like, literally the weight went off her shoulders the minute she left that man. She looks better than she's ever looked before. She looks lighter and happier. It's like wild. And then Raquel diving into this villain era, it's wild. It's like very fascinating to me.
Yeah, I'm kind of here for it. And I would like to see it because I think what happened here is that you had two people kind of lean into a persona that wasn't really who they were. I mean, we know Raquel of being like verbally accosted by Lala in front of an entire brunch patronage of, you know, being called a Bambi-eyed bitch. And now we can never let it go. Though, do I think it was wrong? Yes. Do I think about it constantly and refer to it often and perpetuate that saying? Also, yes.
It was pretty funny.
It was very funny. It was also a time where Lala just should not have been filming. So that's, you know, pretty apparent. But Raquel, we were like, oh, victim. And then when Lala went and apologized to her, so people were like, oh my God, okay. Like, we're seeing Raquel have her moment on that season. Then she got engaged to James. I mean, again, Katie and Tom, they probably had a lot of red flags, but for a while, just like Raquel and James, we just thought that she's stopped caring, that they weren't in a great place. You know what I mean? Like, okay, so we're not in a quality, loving, it wouldn't work for us as a marriage, like the public. But they seem to not give a fuck. So we don't give a fuck. So and we're going to have a good time.
And the fact that the breakup was announced during the reunion. Like, so we cannot forget about that. Like, that was crazy.
That's so crazy. But now Raquel is leaning into a villain era and she's getting with Tom. And Tom, the lovable Tom, is also leaning into a villain era by dating Raquel. Like, it just feels weird.
So here's the thing. I think Tom and Raquel, from what I've talked to a few people regarding this.
Yes.
I think they did make out at Sheena's wedding. I think that did happen. However, I do kind of believe the rumors and the rumblings of her really leaning into this Tom and Raquel thing, like production to like tease up the season. Like, I don't think two are like
we have to
hanging out, dating. I mean, apparently he's dating someone else that was in their inner circle and like pissed off Katie in the process because Katie's number one
in.
Katie's number one thing was like, listen, like you can date whoever, but don't date anyone in the circle.
Yeah, that's tough.
And he's already like done that twice. And I genuinely think like for her, I do feel like Katie's like moved on in that sense. And yeah. I don't know. It would be weird to have your ex of 12 years like dating someone else who's in your friend group. Like that would be very, very weird.
I would absolutely hate it. Please don't do that to me.
I would hate it too. I would
absolutely ever
be like, yeah, it would be so fucking weird. But anyhow, I'm here for it. I'm here for Raquel leaning in. Oh, and don't forget Oliver Garcelle's son. That's apparently Raquel.
Uh-huh. Yeah, for Eric. Don't no one tell Erica. I strategically left most Erica headlines out of this because we would be here all day. So y'all know we lived it. No one forgot about Erica this season, this year. Nobody. We all are very aware of all the shenanigans that Erica has been through and how she was not, you know, being honest or forthright with most things. And she is deep in her villain bag right now. And might be one of the reasons why Beverly Hills is on a little bit of a pause, which is very shocking to me. A franchise that if I never had on my bingo card for eternity that Beverly Hills would ever be like on pause ever.
Yeah. I'm curious to see, cause they normally would have been filming already. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see when that will restart. I want to ask you though, because I know when we first became friends, you loved Erica. Erica was like your favorite housewife.
So good.
So good. I have a kind of a hot take and I feel like I sensed it from BravoCon. I think her redemption era is coming. Like, I think she played it up to the fans. I think Erica knows that she needs to check and she needs the fans' love. And I think she is coming back.
I think she's a person who's not cut out to be a villain like she thought she was. I really don't. I think you can't go from being adored and that was her career goal, was to be a pop star, be adored, have a fan base, not necessarily like an aggressively mean cult-like fan base. It's like, oh, we're just going to follow her to the grave. Like, she wanted people to really like her and appreciate her efforts in the show that she put on. Her now putting on a show of being a villain and being like, I don't care about victims. I care about me, blah, blah, blah. It really turned people off. And I think that was something she thought that she could do. And I don't think it is. So I think that there's a lot of merit to say that she's in her redemption era. She's no Rena to me. Rena's a soap opera actress. Her like lifestyle is being a villain and not giving a fuck about it. But Erica needs people to like her, especially now where she has nothing else fueling her ego. No money, no power, no anything else but this little show. That $600,000 check that she's getting of like pocket change, according to her, that I'm like, let me tell you something. I can get on over there right now and I will show my ass and not have anyone thinking that I'm going to get arrested for maybe a third of that. And we could talk. Just let me know if she doesn't want it.
No, but at BravoCon, like she broke, like literally my jaw dropped when she mentioned that she thought PK and Dorit would be the next couple, like heading to divorce. Like, I just feel like something's coming back. Like, she was working hard for like being in our good graces. So I feel like that time is coming, like you said, and I'm sure we'll get to the Dunshaw of it all, but it's just wild to me. I mean, yes, Erica, I'm not excusing any of her behavior by any means. Like, she's the comments and things that she said has been reprehensible, and she's an asshole for it. However, she was never charged for a crime, but yet the public opinion of her versus Dunshaw is like wildly different to me.
So what I think happens here, and people, because people bring this up a lot, and I had to do a really deep reflection, because I'm definitely one of those people that I think it's because we knew going into the last two seasons that Dunshaw's ass is going to get handed to her by the government. It was never a question to us. We watched for the FBI raid. We watched for the arrest. When the Southern District of New York was like, we have her, we were like, oh, well, you don't need us. So, but Erica, it's like she's a step removed. And so it's a lot harder because we see Tom is getting everything. And her response to that is, I'm also a victim of Tom. And it's like, okay, let's follow that theory. And she's like, I'm a victim of Tom so much that I have no idea about the money. Okay, now wait a minute. You didn't ask any questions. That doesn't absolve you from not being involved. That's just you being stupid. Like, that's just you not thinking long term. Like, that's you believing that he was so powerful or whatever, and it will protect you, that he loved you so much that he would make sure you never had to worry. And so whatever sinister thing he was doing, you were just never going to be touched by it. That's a little naive to me, and I don't find her naive. So it's like, you're a victim of him being an asshole. You're a victim of him being a thief, apparently, but you're not a victim. Like, you're not a victimless part of this. Like, you don't also have a responsibility for what happened. You may not have done it, but you damn sure didn't care about it. And you damn sure let that money be spent. And you did not ask any questions. And even if you did, you didn't give a fuck about the answer. So we're going to have an issue with that. The issue was, when we were presented with Dunshaw being a criminal, it was presented to us like she's a criminal for fact, and we're going to take her down. And we're like, oh, well, we love a good takedown story. But Bravo fans love a task. We love a task. We are people who rally like a mob, and we want work to do. So when Erica's like, I had nothing to do with it, we're like, debatable.
You know what's funny is I actually am on the camp of her. I think she was definitely suspicious of like, where's this money coming from? But I think in that relationship, I truly think she took the money and just didn't continue to poke at questions.
Just didn't
ask. She saw like sus behavior probably and like things, but just chose not to, because he was the power hand. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't think
she was a money maker like, in the relationship. Know
that victim, that's a really good one we should take from. But I do think that her saying things like, I've never had a bank account, or I don't have a bank card, and he always gave me cash when you were a single mother in Atlanta, I don't believe you. So it's like, when she webs in lies that we can't believe into truths that we should believe, it makes all of it questionable. Like, you're never supposed to like add the lies at the bottom. You're supposed to give the big truths and small lies. You don't say things like, I didn't have a bank card ever in my life.
When are you going to put that on a shirt? Small lies.
Only lie about the small lies, not the big ones. You don't do that. It's like, because then it makes it easier for us to prove someone wrong. And if there's nothing we're not addicted to, it's freaking receipts.
No, it's true. That's
we
true.
Love a receipt. We love an expose. We love like a, oh, she didn't get back. It's not like we're more obsessed with the fact that she wouldn't give back the diamond earrings than we are that Tom basically stole the diamond earrings.
No, that's very, very true.
Because she won't admit that they don't belong to her. And we're like, no, we're telling you they don't. Here's the proof. And she's like, no, don't know what you're talking about. And like, okay, so this is why we can't feel bad for you, because you're still not caring about where things come from. You're not even asking questions. We're giving you the answers. You're just like, but they're mine now. And it's like, so you want to be completely absolved of whatever restitution he's responsible for, even though most of the what was spent was on you.
Yeah. And like, you would immediately, anyone with like good conscience would be like, I don't want these. This is dirty money. Right. Like, why would I want these earrings?
If I had no idea, I'd be like, oh my God, my entire closet and life and wardrobe came from these things and these people. I'm, oh my God, he's awful. I'm a victim. Help me. Like, yeah, give it all back. Mm-hmm. But instead, she's like selling it all on Poshmark to pay for her own lifestyle and her legal bills to get herself absolved from any responsibility, and telling us to our face, she don't give a fuck about anyone but herself. Like, at least she's honest. Sure.
No, I was going to say, at least she's honest.
At least she's honest.
She is. I don't know, man. I mean,
but also because, we'll, like, we're not watching Jin Shah on Salt Lake City for like her eventual like demise. We're watching to be like, wow, she is going to struggle in prison.
I mean, that filler. I keep thinking about like the filler dissolving.
What is she going to look like?
What is she going to look like? Like,
is it how many thing, like in a week or two?
Yes. How many years do you think she'll get? So she asked for 36 months.
Yeah.
And then, and then the steward, the government, the
federal government,
as asking for 10 years. What do you think she's going to get? I wouldn't be surprised if it's like five in the middle.
Since she's one of the only people being sentenced, I think it's like just her and Stu, like, who are going to jail because everyone else rolled on her. If the highest amount that she could get is 10, I think she'll probably do about 8.
Mm.
I think she'll get sentenced to the whole thing, maybe with a possibility of parole.
It's insane.
Why would you let a woman like that on parole? We don't know. But where I was like, so Erica playing the stupid spouse who knew nothing and is like kind of just so naive about everything, we didn't believe it because for some reason we charge women to be much smarter than men. But when Sharif asked the judge, like, please, this has hurt our family, I was like, oh, no, you kind of, you're a little naive, bruh.
I
was very shocked.
I was very disappointed in that. And
like, what?
I also am like, so Sharif, feel
brave,
like,
and get off with a timeout.
You're also like a fucking coach, and coaches, depending on, you're no, like, I'm gonna butcher a coach name, but one of like a major school, like the head coach of Alabama or like whatever, you are a smaller school, you make a good money for a living, like I would say like upper middle class.
Yes.
But I would not say you could throw like $80,000 parties and whatnot, and like, for you to just kind of be like out of sight, out of mind, and so naive to your wife is like beyond me. And I find her more scary than EJ for the fact that she continues to lie. At least Erica, we know who she is for all the things you mentioned, Monty. Like, you know, she says she doesn't give a fuck about anyone but herself, and we believe that. Jen continues to lie and lie and lie. And the fact that we're not even going to get a response from her at the reunion is honestly very unsatisfying.
It really is. I ended up stopping watching because I was like, I don't really care anymore now.
Yeah. I mean, and this fucking black eye, no one gives a fuck about that either.
No. But yeah. I think it's all a giant distraction from what's really going on. And I think that, to me, I think that Bravo did do a little bit of a ball drop, not securing that she'd be able to talk about this. Because the one thing I'll give them is that they made sure Erica did not give a fuck about her attorneys even. She wanted to speak. Whether we liked what she had to say or not, he was able to ask those questions and she was able to give those answers. And I don't think it was advised. It was probably the most ill-advised thing she could ever do because it did not make her come off as likable at all. But she at least did not shy away from the conversation that we were all having. Jin Shah, we were like, okay, so you're living in a delusional la-la land where we're all under the assumption that you're going to go to prison, so we're letting you have this fun time. Now we need to talk about you're going to go to prison. And so, and let's talk about why. And she's, you know, I think they should have secured for a fact that she'd be able to talk about it if they were going to invite her. So her giving that, you know, being given that opportunity to be like, okay, I'll come, and I want to come and share my side, but I can't talk about this big legal case. Like, okay, so on what side? We're not interested in anything else. Nothing else of importance is going on in your life other than, are you ready to have orange be your new black?
Clink, clink.
Clink, yeah. Clink.
Clink, clink. I mean, it's honestly wild. And the fact that she showed up to BravoCon and like, she's continuing to bleed this lot. This lie of that she's,
even though she wasn't invited,
innocent.
But yeah, she was like Heather and Tamra. It was like wild. And Tamra is singing like a canary. She's in my hotel room right now, using my glam, drinking my champagne. Like, I am so glad Tamara is back. I did not think I would say this. And I am like, thank God, because this girl is spilling it everywhere. And she is sloppy, messy, and fun.
I mean, say what you want about Tammy Sue Tamara. The woman is great TV. And it's amazing. I mean, it's one of those things you don't know what you got till it's gone. I'm glad she's coming back.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think she's willing to go there, stir the pot. Watch out, or like, I don't know, my gut. I just hope she doesn't self-produce. Because, you know, now that she does a, you know, recap podcast, Housewives, she's looking at things so much more closely and strategically than before, that I just hope that it doesn't come across in her, like in her own performance.
I'm still like so shocked and like really impressed that she even made her way back on OC, because Andy used to be so pissed about their podcast. And I was just like, baby, it's never secrets anymore. We all know what's going on. And that's why it's fun to listen to. But, and that brings me to another thing in our year in review, like Rugged 2 was a smash success. Rugged 1 was great. We did not think, we didn't know that we could top it, because it was really good. OGs, real all-stars in one place. It was amazing. But then Rugged 2 came along, and it was the Ex-Wives Club, and we really leaned into everyone was fired, and we're all trying to get our way back on TV. Like, we knew that that was their goal, and it really aided into a lot of people's point and perspective that it was kind of like an audition for like on-screen Bravo shows that people could watch live, and it worked.
I got chills when you said Rugged too. Like,
wasn't it so good? I looked at it like, we found out about the cast this year, and we saw it also this year, and we're talking like heavy cast, like a non-pregnant Eva, a Phaedra, didn't see that happening. And I have never been happier about anything in my life, because I love me some Phaedra. Vicky and Tamara, like, we got to really just dig deep into the idea that Tamara is just so much better off without Vicky, but she feels such a loyalty because Vicky falls apart whenever Tamara's not around. We had some Brandy Glanville. Dorinda's on pause behind, who needs to stay there. We had
Jill Zarin.
Jill Zarin, hi. Oh my God. It was so good. Do you know she's like a really good friend? I don't know, most people don't watch this show, but like, of my unorthodox life.
Yeah,
like,
I do know.
I was like watching it and I was like, is that Jill?
Yeah.
Girl.
I mean, I think
friends with real rich people? I mean, debatable now, but
I think Jill needs to lean into the thirstiness of it all. Like, I think if she does, we'll like kind of give her more props for it. But no, it was an amazing cast. I do feel bad. I do find humor in the fact that season one went to this beautiful resort in like Turks and Caicos, I think. It's pretty funny. But
drunk ass Dorinda, they were like, remember, you guys are not current wives, so we're not going to spend money on you. Okay.
You're at Dorinda's Manor, which I think the property is beautiful. Like, you know, say what you want about Dorinda, so I do think it's beautiful, but it was incredible television. I really wish, and I asked this question at BravoCon on whether or not they would do a reunion, because it felt like after that, that was a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Because Jill and Dorinda were going at it. Vicky and Dorinda were going at it. Like, there was a lot of chatter on social media.
Taylor and Brandy were going at it in a different way.
And now they're back. They're like friends. But anyways, so they said yes. So I feel like with season three, we'll get a reunion of some sort.
But see, the problem is, Vanessa, do I want a reunion of season three? Because I'm ill excited about this cast. I could give two fucks.
Oh, I'm pumped.
I just feel like we fell. Like, two was incredible. Anything that has Heather Gay in it, I'm just not there anymore. And it's like my lowest, like, top biller of season two of Rugged 2 was Eva, and she turned it out. I do not have high expectations for most of this cast, other than like maybe Ashley. Like, and is Candace there? I think Candace.
No, Ashley's not there. It's Jizzy.
Giselle. Oh, well.
It's Giselle, Candace, Portia.
Candace, I'll give her.
Alexia, Marisol.
Alexia, I'm here for, because she might call someone a Russian prostitute. We don't know. Marisol's personality being a cocktail, like in a Sonia way, but like, it's not authentic to me. Like, I'm just not that interested in. I don't believe you ever called a drink a cocky in your life.
Oh, I believe it. I think it's she's done weird. It since like season one. I feel it's like she's always weird. Been like her cock.
I don't like it.
No, I'm here. But listen, I've seen a preview of it and I think it's gonna be fucking good. I think it's gonna be fun. Bad weather
is gonna be too. And I was just like, oh.
Well, okay. Damn, Monty.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm a harsh critic because these days I don't just watch Bravo. Like, I'm in the streets again. Like, I'm out here, you know, watching Netflix reality shows. I'm watching like Kim Kardashian and her family be ridiculous. And I really enjoyed the Kardashians this season. I watched Kourtney wear the worst dress in history, but be so proud about it. They flew to Italy like 5 times to make this dress. And I'm like, that is so crazy because we all hated it. And she put so much work into it. That's crazy. Like, I am out here watching people really get called out on things. And so when I see Heather in this eye, no, I'm like, you want me to be excited about you later when I can't be excited about you now?
I'm excited. I think it's like expect the unexpected. I think it's going to be
love that to be wrong.
I think it's going to be expect the unexpected. I do feel passionately that Bravo needs to get these shows out faster because there's so much chatter nowadays on social media and some shows are better than others about leaking information or now with the crossovers of it all. I just am like, y'all need to get this out faster because it loses its steam a little bit and loses like interest. And like when you have two people like Heather and Whitney, whose friendship is like and relationship, family, all of it is falling apart. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a part two of that. And I'm pretty sure they're still not like friends, but I just think anytime there's issues like that as a viewer, I want it closer to real time.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that will pull people into Peacock more because you need more than one show to, you know, make people pay that subscription fee. Although it is free if you have like Xfinity. So y'all maybe just switch. I don't know. Like devote yourselves to this lifestyle. But Miami was a big pull. I mean, this season is incredible. And we got getting Miami back this year was like, oh my God, now we've had some really good episodes in that from that already. So Rugged is a great pull as well. And you know, those are shows that because they're such a newer chemistry, it's so much easier for us to kind of get involved in because otherwise you go on pause, like Beverly Hills, like New York. Now we have two New Yorks coming. It's the end of an era. We have one Legacy that we're still unsure who's going to be on there, even though if you're going to name it Legacy or have like a Legacy show, there's but a short list that you could put on that show.
I mean, we know Ramona.
It's just the cast from 2 years ago. Like,
no, we know Ramona's not. We know Ramona's not coming back.
But also then who was a Legacy? Like, that's what I'm saying.
No, but Dorinda, I mean, Dorinda's pretty much going to be there whether you want to see her or not.
Yeah.
I think Sonia, I think Lou, I think Jill, they've talked a lot about like Kelly Bensimon, which I could personally do without.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, say what you want about Ramona. Ramona is a vile person, but I would take her over Kelly Bensimon.
I feel like I could not follow Kelly Bensimon. I have a hot take. I think they should leave Legacy alone. I just don't think it's ever going to be something that could be agreed upon by most people. People who they cast is going to be either not Legacy enough or we're going to think is not enough for who we passed over. But then you run into a problem of like Ramona needs to be gone. But if you're going to have a Legacy show, it makes no sense to have one without Ramona. So it's like, we can't both reward and punish at the same time. It's like putting everyone in timeout and giving them a chocolate bar. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's like, we should just put them all on pause, maybe make them do a little, you know, working and earning for it, make them squirm a little like Dorinda, let us see a new cast. Let's see what happens. And then boom, that cast is gone in 2 years. And then we just find someone else. Or I don't know. Let's not only have the options of Kelly Bensimon or Vile.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of range there. New York is bigger. We should just
There's not a lot of range. I will say this, like, yes, New York is a melting pot. It should be a reflection of that. That is like a fault of the show. And I do agree with all the criticism regarding that. The one thing that Legacy has going for it is that these women have genuine friendships amongst each other and have known each other. And I feel like for any Housewives or Bravo show, any reality TV show, really, when there's genuine relationships, it's much more authentic to us, the viewer.
Yes, absolutely. I actually don't really need New York to be the melting pot, because what usually isn't is, if we're going to focus on the upscale aspect of like Upper East and West Side Manhattan and all that, that really isn't as diverse as the rest of New York. So, and they're very out of touch. That's kind of the allure. Like, they're so far removed. They don't go, you know, lower than 100 and whatever street. Like, that's like the thing. They don't want to be touched by the economic diversity that is literally beneath them. So I don't really need to have people of color subjected to that, just because we need to fill a quota. Like, I'm sick of Bravo trying to fill quotas. And yes, I like representation on TV, but I also like white women being mean to each other. I'm gonna say it.
I'm with you. I feel like
better than me.
Listen, like, I feel like if you're gonna have any sort of representation, people of color, et cetera, like, it needs to feel authentic and not like feel like you're just casting a Black, brown, Asian, whoever person just to, because you feel like you need someone. Like, it needs to be someone like, cause they fit in. Like, I feel like Miami does a beautiful job of that. Like, it doesn't feel like what
they have so much money.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of all like the, I feel like that to me didn't feel like filling a quote. I feel like they were casting based on personality.
Because that's also what Miami looks like. It's like everyone is like mixy, exotic. That's the allure of Miami. Everybody's like kind of out there.
But that to me is like excellent casting, in the sense I felt like it was the personality, a product of the city itself too. So anyways, maybe we should get into casting, but I'm honest,
don't bring Ramona. She's not the only, we just need someone who is, if they're going to be that vile, they're a little bit more discreet about it. Ramona's not, like, I'm not expecting perfect 50 plus year old rich white women to get it. I'm definitely not. I'm expecting most of them to be like Sonia and take a Black person to their, you know, koi pond and be like, look at all the fish that I have. I love color. Don't you see? Like, I'm expecting that. What I'm not expecting, or do I not want to deal with, is like hearing later that she said something like this.
Yeah.
And then like, the racism. Like, come on. Like, now I can't have fun with it. Like, no. And I wish that Bravo knew that, like, we just don't, we know that these type of racism things will happen. Like, we know that it will, because your picker is off. Like, their picker is like Vicky fucking Gumbelson. Like, they're terrible at it. They go with the people who are eclectic and weird and ridiculous with even some money, maybe not. And then they just put all the eggs in that and hope for the best. And I'm like, well, you know, you're going to have some issues. But like, I didn't start watching Southern Charm like the first year, like, of Charleston, going, oh, these people are going to get me. Like, I was very aware this is probably going to be some of the most racist people in real life that I'll ever know. And then I will also watch this show because I'm not there. I'm not filming them. Where the issue comes in is when you throw one or two in there and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And you see it. Yeah.
And you have like a Brandy Tiffany moment on Dallas. We're like, I can't be myself because you're Asian. It's like,
yeah, okay. No, it's, I mean, it's horrible for those who've been casted on it to be like subjected to those types of things, but also like the lack of acknowledgement. I mean, the only Bravo show that I felt like has dealt with race in a realistic, and actual, like, what am I trying to say? Like, a very empathetic way was Summer House. There was a conversation with Sierra and Maya and the rest of the house, and I felt like it was a dialogue that was felt very genuine, and it felt like everyone in the room was actually listening versus getting defensive, like we've seen on some of these other
most of the shows.
So where people are getting defensive and immediately are like, "I'm not a racist," and like, focus on that versus what the actual person of color is saying. So I don't know. Oh, like, my God.
That Shabbat should have been a sign right there that we need a break. Everybody needs to take a second, regroup, put this cast on ice, get a new cast, and let's just see what happens. And then we could bring them all back. Who cares? Like, because it may not work. I mean, you get an overhaul like that in OC, and it didn't really work. So it was like they recorded their worst rated season show ever. That was sad because we really fell from grace. But what I want us to be mindful of is that when we push so hard for things that we used to love and we know that they have changed, we end up leaving out on a bad note. So then now New York can never go out on a high because we're just going to keep going down, like OC.
You're right.
Now we all want to go behind the back and shoot it. Because OC used to be amazing. Like, I've been rewatching, like, up until like, when Tara first got then. Like, this show used to be incredibly wild. And now I'm just like, I would literally rather, I have to set alarms to watch OC, Vanessa.
Oh, no, I hate watch it in the sense of like, we cover it for our podcast and I watch it. But honestly, if I wasn't so invested and this was like my little side job, I probably wouldn't commit to it at all. Excited by Tamara. So we'll see. There's hope.
Yeah, we'll see. Vicky's we'll back see. Too because she follows Tamara everywhere. So, okay.
I think Vicky should come back. You know what? If we're going to take
Dorinda, I'm not there yet. I can't do both at one time.
You know what though? Next. But if we're going to take Dorinda off pause,
I don't think we should do that either.
I don't either. But if it's going to happen and it really feels like it is based on how Dorinda's been making these appearances and all this shit, I feel like Vicky should be off pause. Like that to me.
Right.
So.
Other breakups, Ashley and Gollum Darby.
Ooh.
That was a breakup that I still don't know if I fully believe yet, but I feel like I don't know if I believe it happened the way that people think it happened.
What do you think?
I think he dumped her. I really do. I think that he was like, she said, I don't want to do threesomes anymore. He was like, well, then I want something different, or I want to revisit some things. And I think that he is leaving her. I think if she left him, he would be a lot more vile about everything. I think that the whole like him lying about the house thing and saying that he was going to be amicable is because he's thinking he can still have some control in her life, but also get what he wants. That man does not strike me as just generous and goes, you want to leave? Okay. But let me also make sure you can go buy a house first. No, because when the realtor is like, hey, we got everything we need. You can buy a house right now. She goes, wait, he lied to me? I'm like, yes, girly, because he wants control still, but he also wants to do what the hell he wants, which is to not be filmed, not have to be around, protect himself. I think he controlled the timeline. I think that he was like, I don't want to film. So let's say that we're, you know, splitting up now. And she's like, oh yeah, we want to protect you. I want to protect the father of my kids. Cause I think she cares that much about her family being protected. And I think that she was gung ho with it, with whatever the plan was, because he was like, I will make sure you and the kids are okay. I'll get you a house. I won't Lenny Hochstein you and say, go find a new place to live. Like, so she was like thinking, oh, he's being generous, buying a house together. Like, this is all going to be fine. And then everybody thinks that like, I finally leveled up. And I think that she is being blindsided a lot behind closed doors. I think that she is handling it with grace, but he's a golem. He's terrible. And I think that's what he did to her.
I mean, y'all just heard me clap. I mean, Monty, A plus analysis. I could not agree more. I have not dug that deep, honestly, aside than just celebrating the fact that.
Oh, yes. It's a big celebration. Thank God.
Celebrating the fact that this hot ass woman has been with this wrinkly dick. Like, I've just been celebrating. I think nothing brings me more joy than when the Bravo community can rejoice and agree on a topic. And one of them was Ashley and Michael breaking up. But all the points you brought up, as much as I want to be like, yes, girl power, Darby Barbie, all this shit, you're right. Like, honestly feel like you're right.
And it's like, I'm not even mad about it, because like I think I've mentioned it before, but one of my best freedom moments is I was in a really bad abusive relationship, like physically abusive relationship in high school, and he dumped me, and I could not be more grateful. So glad. Thank you, God. Like, set me free, baby. Like, I find that to be a version of protection, because if you leave me, there's just also zero room for me to be able to get back, for you to be able to get back in here. You know what I mean? Because women and men especially can sometimes heal at a very different pace. Like, we grieve up front, they usually grieve later. So she could be in a great place by the time he realizes that he is out there on his own, old and decrepit looking, and has these young hot chippies don't really want to hang out with him the way he thinks they do, because he's not as rich as people think he is. You didn't hear that from me, but you did.
So get out before the cookie crumbles, honey. So
yeah, girl, if there's some, if somebody doesn't want you in their life, baby, bye. Okay. We're 2023. We're living our best lives. Okay. Like, who cares? Bye. Okay. You don't appreciate me. Somebody else will, honey. There's plenty of fish in the sea. Have you seen our population control numbers? Go.
Yes.
You well, can find somebody else.
I mean, Ashley is fucking gorgeous. And
she can find anybody.
She deserves coochie cravings from someone else.
I mean, which she to got be honest, temporarily. She has you and Abby much to thank for her last coochie craving being filled. Will it be a for everything? I hope to God.
I mean, who knows?
I don't trust Luke. But
honestly, it's
I
been
want
the
her
most...
to get a little young, fresh dick in her life.
And he's older than her is like the crazy thing, but still young. The wildest thing about this, so like I posted that in July randomly. Shared it again in September. Ashley slides into my DMs and is like, who is this babe? Is he gay? Is he in a relationship? I was like, no. I just want you to get some hot dick. I just want you to get some hot dick. And really, like, my intentions in all this was just her to get like a one night stand and it be it. Like, I think most of us
got a couple night stands. I don't think they're going down any aisles anytime soon, but like, she got a few moments of something.
I mean, she committed to like the sporting events. I was like, Jesus Christ, like how many different sporting events are these two gonna go on?
From her kids, she got to fly out and have like a little grown sexy time. Like, I'm here for her getting her groove back. I love that. In fact, one of my new favorite Down in the Trenches shows has been like Got Her Groove or something like that, or In Her Groove. It's like hosted by Taye Diggs because like based on the movie Stella Got Her Groove Back, and it is 340 plus year old women who are all so fine on Hulu, and they have a bunch of 20 something year old men who are like pining after them because they
I love that movie.
But like the show, it's a show now.
Oh, it's a show. Oh
and
my Tay God.
Taye Diggs is hosting it. And it's a reality show. It's like three bachelorettes who are over 40. They have like grown kids. They've been married. They've been divorced. They have their life together, their homes together. They have careers. They are fine.
I need
and
to
all
watch
these young
this.
Men are like obsessed with them. Some like between like 26 and like 35, like younger
oh,
than
my
them.
God.
And they're all in their 40s. And I have realized I like 40 something bachelorettes.
Oh yeah.
I want mean, them older.
Yes. No,
they all like met each other in one room and were just like, you are so hot. Oh my God, girl. Like, you're so gorgeous. I love that dress. I was like, oh my God, we're not even catty. Oh my God, girl power. These three beautiful women are all like, I'm so secure in who I am. I don't need to tear another woman down, but I do want to tear down that man over there. And I'm like, yes, bitch, get it.
Oh my God. I need to watch
so
this.
Good. And it's hosted by Taye Diggs. It's like funny. It's great.
I need to watch this. So, but Ashley of it all, I think her and Luke, we posted on Real Moms. I'm pretty sure they're done.
Bye. New Year's Eve. Some good things.
Yeah. New Year's Eve will like truly put the nail in the coffin for me. I don't know. I think based on what I know, I think that ship has sailed, but it was fun while it lasted. And
was fun. It was cool that y'all manifested something that actually like,
it was crazy. All I wanted was, you know what? I'm going to keep it real with y'all. All I wanted though, them to last long enough so I can get on and Watch What Happens Live.
Relatable. Understood.
Completely. I mean, I was like, damn it. You guys that lasted. Right. Like, another month, maybe two.
Just one. But like then they were like, we're fully holiday season, and that is a lot of pressure.
And now Winter House is done, and he doesn't have any other shows. So
bye. That's fine. She does. She's still popping. We love that for her. Speaking of Summer House and some makeups, breakups, and hookups, Lindsay and Carl got engaged. They started dating. They announced that they were dating at the beginning of this year, and it was like a big thing. It was like, yes, I am dating, and we're like, oh my God. And then they got engaged this year, and we love a man who can apply to a grown-up timeline. Like, was Lindsay's timelines ridiculous? Yes, but that also doesn't mean that you have a blank check on patience from a grown-ass woman who knows what she wants, and you should know what you want. And like, I like that there was a sense of urgency of like, oh, I made a good decision, I'm deciding that this is the person for me, and I could, let's do this. Like, let's keep going. And she got what she wanted. Like, love them or hate them, love each of them individually or hate them individually. I am glad that she and him, because we've seen their friendship over the years, and we've seen them kind of like try to date. Like, we've seen that there has been a chemistry for so long that it's nice that we don't have to question, like, are you sure? Because nothing was worse then watching the many contentious seasons of Kyle and Amanda, and then when we know they got married, then watching the whole season leading up to it and being like, oh my God. Like, I'm happy them, but oh my God.
Never forget the finger banging season. Like, if you can recover from that and then end up engaged, like, I'm here for it. I think what I love, I mean, I'm a Lindsay apologist. I talk about this all the time. But
I actually really like her.
I do like that this feels like, in reality TV terms, like a realistic approach to a relationship.
Yes.
Carl has the most transformational progression of any male on TV. Like, from season one to now, it's crazy how big of a fuckboy he was to now like a very mature adult.
Kyle could learn a thing or two.
Oh my God. So I just kind of like that there are two friends. I love any relationship that has a foundation in friendship, and I wish them the best. The only thing that gives me pause, and I say this with someone who does love Lindsay, is the fact that no one in the cast and the whole Danielle and Lindsay of it all, like, no one congratulated them. And that's always a little weird to me.
What I will say is, I find, while I like Lindsay and I even like Carl, that show, most of those people could be in healthier places in their lives. They could. And the show is not the show without some kind of drama. Lindsay is probably her original, the original first couple casts where Lindsay was kind of like at a center, like, and then she was kind of like a queen bee involved, has shifted. Now these younger, like, baby millennials are like so liked and everything, and they're like a little clique, and Lindsay's kind of on the outskirts. So it's just like, So I didn't expect much, because I also expect that she's grown out of this crowd. Like, I expect that a few of them could move on, but are holding on. And that is where, you know, you feel that disconnect happening. Like, I think Kyle has definitely outgrown this show and needs to go grow up somewhere else. But Amanda is still such a central, like, an integral part of, like, that little clique. Like, that, it's like, it just feels like, you know, the dorm mother or like the RA is like engaged, and you're like, oh, like, we're friendly, but no, like,
I mean,
you're not my girl across the hall that, like, I go kick it with and watch Scandal on Thursdays, you know, with Chinese food. You know what's kicking it with Lindsay to go watch Scandal and eat Chinese food.
And one Olivia Pope wine glasses. You know, it's funny that you say all this, because I've had several discussions with many people of like what Summer House needs to evolve to, because it does feel like so many people are aging out. Yep. And not to say that you can't still have a good time and all that stuff, but I've always said it needs to just pivot to being like some version of what was once upon a time on MTV, the Hills or the City, and just focus on their lives in New York. And it's like Housewives without Housewives. Like, yeah. I think that can happen. I think it's realistic. I think you could like grow and just focus on their lives in the city.
Yeah, I think that we could definitely transition it to something like they're now a little bit even more career obsessed, even though that they don't have to, like, they're not grinding as hard as they were when we first started, but like now they're in a steady or stable place, and we could totally see like them transition from the way they used to party to the way that they probably party now. Like, they still party and have fun, but like, because my mama is over 50, my mama is like 60 years old, I think, I don't remember, like, she looks like she's 40, so no one knows, but she throws down. I'm at my mom, back like 8:30, 9 o'clock. I like to watch the Golden Girls and go to sleep. My mom's like, oh my God, you ever tried the cone yet? My mom, this is behind a Patreon wall for a while, so she still might kill me because I will put this out. My mom left my wedding more than one time to go and hotbox a car.
Oh,
with,
I love it,
friends of a particular age.
I fucking love it. You know what?
Go on. Wild. I was like, I was literally at one point, like, where is my mom? And in my
name of honor, I went
to go look for her. She's like, she's coming back.
No, I think it's amazing. My parents party hard too. Like, my dad, like, I was just in Mexico with them and literally took more shots of tequila than I could take.
Did you know it's called Mexican water?
Yeah,
don't ask for water at the Mexican resorts, people.
Oh, no, I believe that. I believe it. But truly, like, they party hard, and I like embrace it. So it's possible, is what we're saying, is that you can still have fun and grow up. I mean, I love to have a good time. We see it in the Housewives.
That's one of the reasons why we liked New York. Why we put up with it for so long is because when they go places like the Hamptons and there's vibrators in the chicken and they're throwing tiki torches, it is My mom loved that episode. It's the only episode that she's ever watched from start to finish.
It's hilarious.
She howled the whole time.
It is absurd.
She saw a representation of herself, even though she is a Black woman and not a rich white woman from Manhattan. She was like, these are women of my age group who are getting lit. And it's so fun to watch. And I was it's good to see that, like, you don't ever have to give it up, baby. Okay.
No. So I think it can evolve. And they can have their trip still to the Hamptons because they always have a trip.
They can always come and visit too. Like, they're still friends and stuff with the cast. I just would like to see them now not need to go all the way to the Hamptons to party.
Yes, and just spend the summer. Yes.
Yeah. Like, just go stay in New York because y'all can afford it. Get lit. Have your nice parties and cocktails. Like, have a cool life. I want to see them having a cool life. Like, we have not had a show like that in a long time.
It's I agree.
Co-ed cast. The last time I can remember was like Blood, Sweat, and Heels, where it was like a bunch of people having a good time. Like, they were rich in the city and they were out partying, having fun, having careers, like having meetings on Wednesday, but going out Thursday and having a gallery open and getting drunk. Like, that was really fun. And I would actually like to see that as a co-ed situation. That would be really
fun. I think it would work. I mean, I think we see some of that, obviously completely different because of the culture aspect of all, but Shaw's in some way look like a co-ed cast, but I think it could work. I'm here for it. And I still think they could get away with still doing like a winter house because that is just like a vacation.
Which I love. I just,
which I, you know, it was so fantastic. I think it could still work. So I don't know.
I think so too.
And there's a Bravo exec subscribed.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with a little grown up action. I want to see that. I really enjoy it. I love, you know, I love hanging out with my mom now. She just popped up on me yesterday and I was like, okay, girl, well, I guess. She was like, hi,
like surprise.
Yeah, she literally was just like, surprise, I'm here. And I was like, okay. And I love hanging out with her now because she is so fun that I'm like, yeah, I could watch that because it reminds me of like, oh, my mom is like,
that's amazing. I hope my girls feel like that about me.
I think as long as the way you manifest it now, I think so. Like, my mom was never a perfect mom. And she definitely admits that she's done so much growing in her life and in therapy and things like that. And that has really surprised me that it's like, I am so much closer to her now than I ever have been. And I was very close to my mom growing up. But like, I have all the best memories of like tea parties and going to like the hotel. Because there were things that I wanted to do that she introduced me to that I liked. And she like, you know, we do them together and having so many mommy daughter dates that like, now when she says to me, hey, you want to go get lunch? I am absolutely agreeing because A, you're going to pay for it. And
oh
B,
my God, this warms, I remember it's
so much fun. And we
so
get
much
cocktails together and we like we go to brunch regularly. Like, me and my mom, we go get our haircut at the same place. She pays for that too.
And,
and then
love
we go to
that
brunch around the corner and get mocha, a martini, espresso martinis.
Ooh.
And yeah, she loves a mocha. She turned me on to them and now we both drink them. She goes, yeah, I'll have another. You want another one? I'm like, yes.
I love that. You know, it's funny. I was just talking to my husband about this. I was like, not that I want to rush time because my kids are 5 and 2, but I was like, I look forward to the day when they're in their 20s and like we can go on vacation together and like drink together and they can leave us alone and we give them their adult time. Yep. And
my mom and I and her boyfriend and my now wife, we all got a cabin together for Christmas and it was the most fun I've ever had in my life.
Oh my God.
Like, and now we want to go to Mexico together next year where we go to the same resort that we went on our honeymoon. We want to take them. And like, we love hanging out with my mom. Like, it's, we go to her house as a vacation. We're like, I'm going to my mommy's house. I want to be with my mom. Like, everyone knows that about me. Look, we're tightest, we're thick as thieves, and she loves Maya sometimes more than me.
I think
which
that's
is
a given.
Crazy to say, but it's like my mom will say things like, I don't love her more than you, Monty. I love you both equally. And I'm like, okay, but see, one of us you birthed. You see,
no, my mom loves my husband more than me.
Okay.
Like, so 100%. No, I get it. Like, I think
don't rush Dr. Man. She's working. I'm like, okay, but like, what about me? She's like,
no, no. My mom loves my husband way more. Like, and like constantly is telling me how blessed I am to have him. And
yes, she's like, look at that
bullshit.
Talk to her later. Like, no, don't ask her. Don't ask her that. I'm like, don't tell me how to be in my marriage.
I'm also like, bitch, he's happy. He's lucky to have me.
Okay. Not a catch.
Yeah.
I'm adorable. What? Yes. Oh, speaking of
lucky to
which,
have each other. Yeah, there.
he's like, there I am, the lucky one. Well, guys, there was a lot of things that happened this year, a lot of headlines that took place, a lot of shows watched. It was a interesting year of deaths and things and, you know, come ups and successes and failures that there was just so much that we couldn't even mention them all. But what I want to do is ask before you leave, what other shows this year have caught your eye? What did you watch? We're deep diving lately into other things that keep our attention because we know that Bravo can be stressful. It's a problematic fave, but we sometimes need our reprieve. So what do we do when we have people who are like, I just couldn't watch it this season? Like, okay, so maybe don't give up, but maybe have a nice palate cleanser, a little chaser.
Are
So
you
what were
talking
you
about
into this year?
something Bravo specific or outside of Bravo?
Outside of Bravo, like what other shows were you like, this is it? This is something the girl should be watching.
Okay, I have a couple different shows. I love White Lotus season two. I feel like that's cliche, but White Lotus season two was if it's like Housewives adjacent in the sense of a scripted show of all the craziness that happens. So I fucking love that. I love Hacks. Also, semi Housewives adjacent in terms of like the craziness and a rich white woman just being delusional. So if that's your thing, you would love Hacks. I'm trying to think of like what else? Those are like the top two that are coming to my mind. I mean, everyone loves Emily in Paris. I watched that, but that was.
A guilty pleasure. Like it's on, it was on while I was wrapping gifts. Like it's not something that I can, I need to sink my teeth into. And
Yeah,
I
that's what
think that's
I watch.
why a lot of people do like it, is because it's just like mindless guilty pleasure. Like it's just there.
It's like a little too, it's very mindless, but afterwards I'm
It's
like,
kind of
why did I
corny to
watch
me.
this?
Yeah, it is very corny to me, but that's
Oh
just
my God, it's so
you do
corny.
some deep thinking in like Miami. Like you can't, like that's a palate cleanser. After you watch Lenny throw this woman out.
Oh.
Then yeah, go watch Emily in Paris. You'll feel better.
Those are like the top ones that I mean, I'm sure I'm missing something because I get FOMO really bad and I have to watch
Okay,
the shows
same.
that everyone's talking about. Well, how about you?
This year I did a lot of like the love shows, like Love is Blind. I like the first season still better than all the other ones,
I
but
agree with that.
and that was good. Too Hot to Handle actually, I think got better over time. I love the idea of that show. Have you watched?
Yeah, no, I
It's
love, I mean,
so
season
good.
one.
Since season one, they had me, man. I was like, this is a crazy ass concept.
No,
Okay.
it's, but it's great. Love
It's
Island, I got into
so
this year,
good. I
actually.
loved it. I love things that are still opulent and wealthy. I watched all the Bling Empires and the Selling Sunsets. I watched even OC Selling Sunset, which was absolutely terrible. And it's not that Selling Sunset Beverly Hills was that great. It's just that the bar was already like low. And then OC was like just not interesting. Like, and that was kind of wild, but I still watched it. I love seeing big houses that I know they're not selling. And that was really fun. I watched other things like
The Kardashians, you seem
I
to be
did start the
into, and you watch
Kardashians.
that.
I ended up loving it way more than their show on E. I think it's much better because it shows a lot more of the complexity of even our own dislike of them. Like, if you do not like one of them, there's so much more there to unpack that you're like, there were moments when Kim like took her daughter north. Like she does a trip with each kid because she travels a lot and it makes sense. And she took her daughter to Fashion Week when they were in Europe so she could be in the once acclaimed and now very disturbing Balenciaga campaign, which is probably why it took her so long to say something because it was the finale of that season.
Oh
So
my God.
like, and it came out around the same time. But she took her daughter to the show, and the point of it was like, she would not stop talking about how special it was to her to have her daughter there with her, to have three generations, because Chris was there, to have her, you know, her Aunt Cece there, like her cousin Cece. Like, it was just so special to her that I was like, wait, do you actually sound like a mom? Like, you, she sounded like my mother. When my mom brings me to work, like as a kid, like it's just so special. She couldn't stop talking about it. She couldn't stop telling stories about it. She was like, you know, North, when you were conceived, like, right? Do you know that when I was young, like I just found a new likability to her because it was something that felt authentic. Like it was like more, oh, you are just a mom too. Like everything else, we cannot like you. It's like a Jennifer Aiden type of moment for me. We're like in the world. Huh, stress. in solo areas, okay, you have a heart, like the lawyer thing and all that. But then like, oh, you can't help it. You're just a mom. Like, you're just a cute woman who loves her kids, and you actually are just more normal than even you know.
Kim has always been my favorite. I don't watch the show because I have to have like a cap on my Kardashian.
Stuff, I will say that the old years definitely tired us out, because I've told a lot of people, I'm like, yeah, it definitely expired me on them. But this show is just so much better because of the documentary style that they filmed it in. They, even the camera people don't care if they come off unlikable, because it's what's really happening in that moment. You're unlikable. So it's been better to be like, oh,
no, well, I've heard that. But Kim's always been my favorite. I think Kim has always been, she's like a very interesting person. I mean, extremely vapid, but like you said, a mother. Also, like, I think a smart businesswoman.
Yeah, she actually works a little harder than I thought. I always said I wasn't offended because she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to Courtney. So I can't be offended if it doesn't apply to me. The shoe does not fit over here, baby. So
I don't know
who she was talking to, but even like a moment like that, they, in the same episode, like they filmed for like months and months, and then all the same content just kind of makes it into one episode. So it's like, even that moment, we see them going to that shoot, going to that interview, and then the way that each woman even handles the backlash that Kim got, I was like, this is why Khloé and I have a very contentious relationship and I don't like her. This is why Courtney doesn't have a clue. And Kim's response though to her own thing was different than both of them, being like, I kind of probably dropped the ball there and I probably shouldn't have said that, because I wasn't trying to say this, but I wasn't trying to say that, but it doesn't matter because it came off so fucking stupid and vapid. And I'm like, that's all we wanted. But Khloé's like, they're always going to come after us and they hate us so much. And I'm like, you're not a victim. It's very EJ to me. Like, you're not a victim. You're just not.
No, I mean, okay? I think there's so much of a level of delusion too. That's always makes the Kardashians.
Also, Chris is a little bit of a sorcerer and I like watching.
I love Chris.
I'm like, because like Kim talked, the whole thing was documented about that dress that she like kind of stretched out and everything like that from start to finish when they would not let her have it. And the entire time, even I was like, this is Ripley's, believe it or not. This is not the freaking Louvre. Like, relax. But I was like, okay, they told Kim no in every way of the word. I'm like, oh, so this girl's just not going to get it. But Chris, even Kim was like, I have no idea how Chris pulled this off. I am gobsmacked. Like, Kim would not let anyone in the same room as the dress. It was wild. You could tell she took it very seriously.
No, like, I saw some clips of her and it was like
really
like
crazy.
She turned into like what you would expect a celebrity to be like. She acted very much like a diva and like, yes, all of
she
that.
She was Mariah carrying it, but because it wasn't her stuff. Like, it was something that she took really a lot of pride in. And I admire that she has some things that she's proud of, you know, and that she takes seriously. Everything's not handed to her. And to me, I'm just like, y'all should all be so grateful because she is working so hard for y'all to have this life. I paid for your life.
It's true. It's so true.
She has but a little moment.
I love Chris.
I paid for your lives.
Yes.
Get up and dance for me, little bitches. Like,
oh, she should say that. I really would love if she should. But Chris, the one episode I want to watch is when Chris got stoned.
It was hilarious.
I've heard that and I need to watch that episode. If anything, I'll watch that one.
Were so like, are you okay, girl? And she just, Chris doesn't do it. But it was also more authentic than the episode of like the old Keeping Up the Kardashians when MJ got stoned and it was like such a big plot point that it was like, yes, me, I've never done it before and Chris didn't know, but let me take out a bag of gummies that I have. That's just not how people get stoned. That's not how it works. So Chris being like, wait, you have a gummy? Okay. And she took it and trying to order food. Crazy. I've just never seen anything like it. It was hilarious. And I just thought that this season was actually quite real. It was really good. And it was fun to see in a lot of ways, even Courtney be like, I don't give a fuck about Scott anymore. Stop throwing him in my face.
Oh, I'm like tempted to watch, but I'm still not going to watch, but I'm glad.
I'll give you like a playlist. Like, if you have to watch one and you are curious, watch this one.
I want to watch the one where she's stoned. Honestly the one I want.
I would say that's a top two. That one and when they all found out about Tristan, because it was while they were filming, but they tried to hide the cameras and the cameras were like, we will still find it. Like,
yeah,
You can't do
like
that.
It's still, you can't hide.
You can't hide, girl, you're mic'd. And so that was a really good one. But overall, those are the shows that, you know, have been giving us, you know, joy outside of Bravo. You got your one-offs on Netflix and stuff. So whatever gives you joy, people, and lets you keep watching, do that. But overall, have a wonderful new year, everyone. Can't wait to see what Bravo brings into the new year, what these ridiculous celebrities will do in the new year. We might get a couple more weddings like Megan Fox and MGK or something like that. Or I don't know, but it'll be very fun to see where we go. Just be kind to us, 2023. Any New Year's resolutions that you have, Vanessa, that you're like, I won't keep up with this, but hopefully I do.
I mean, I think everyone's always like, eat healthier, spend less time on my phone, which is hard with the stuff that we do because we're always on our phone.
Don't even ask myself
that. I don't know. I mean, I think, I don't know. Resolutions are kind of like, I feel like you set yourself up for failure because you have like high hopes of stuff.
Yes.
I don't know. I think like continuing to manifest the things you want for yourself. I think like whatever that is, whether that is being healthier or certain level of success in your career or whatever, I'm a firm believer putting things out in the universe and hoping it gives back to you. So
yes. Also Sex Lives of College Girls on HBO.
That's a good one.
And I watched that and I watched Euphoria. Like all those things are really good. I am a little mad at Mindy Kaling right now. And my New Year's resolution is that y'all will stop glorifying the Ozempic diet because as someone
who is on
Ozempic.
Yeah, no, it's obvious.
My prescription is back ordered 8 weeks. And if you have insurance, they only give it to you for a month's worth of doses. So people who use it, like my mom and myself, we're spreading out doses. So our blood sugar is getting fucked up because we can't get anymore.
No, it's
back ordered.
It's like bullshit. Manjaro, Ozempic, like all of that.
What's worse is that because it's all of those, I can't even switch. I am in the same position all around. So let's not glorify that. Let's let people use the medicine that it was intended for who need it. That'd be great. That'd be great. So that's my hope for all of you. Stay happy, stay healthy, stay safe, y'all. Stay home, go outside. I don't really care anymore, but do whatever is works for you. And, you know, be kind to yourselves and not like in an Ellen way, like in a real way. Be kind to yourself. Thank you for being here, Vanessa. You can listen to her and Abby shake it up all the time and talk all your Bravo recaps. They literally were featured in Apple Podcasts. It's like, you need to be listening to this. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you're featured in it. It's like Danny Pellegrino, Juicy Scoop, y'all, and like a couple other people. I knew that because someone told me that I was there for BravoCon recaps. I was like, I didn't even go, but they were, I was in a feature. They've been doing that lately. Like, oh, if you listen to recap podcasts, listen to these. And I saw Real Moms. I was like,
hi. Well, girl. No, thank you. Yeah, you can listen to us at Real Moms Bravo. And then follow us on Instagram at Real Moms of Bravo. And Monty, yes. Like one of my favorite internet friends turned real life friends. I can't say enough beautiful things about this beautiful soul. So thank you so much to you listening to supporting her because she is worth it.
Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for making this a really cool new job for me. And I really am appreciative of it and you following me here. So yeah, subscribe, tell a friend, do all of that. The finales will continue to air on my regular podcast feed through the early part of 2020 and then 2023, Jesus. And then we are here exclusively. So thank you for being here and have a safe New Year's, everyone. Bye.